Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Moms in Prayer podcast. I'm your host, Lee Nienheis, and we are so glad you are here today. Today, our guest is evangelist and Moms in Prayer kid, Matt Brown. Something like spiritual pride swells up inside me as we talk to the sons and daughters of Moms in Prayer moms. It fills me with hope and fresh evidence that God really is hearing and answering our prayers for our kids. Today, we cover the gamut of topics from being a Moms in Prayer kid, revival, why and how social media has been an effective tool in Matt's ministry, and his new book, Truth Plus Love, releasing April 23rd. Most people don't know that you can pre-order books on Amazon, CBD, or wherever you buy your books, and that actually helps launch and build momentum for authors. It improves their reach. When it comes to books that are being written by Christian authors, it's invaluable, so you can easily help build that momentum. Speaking of momentum, boy, do we have it in Moms in Prayer right now. You are sharing Moms in Prayer with friends, and new groups are springing up all over the United States. Each week at headquarters, we praise God for these new schools being covered by prayer, and we are always hustling to keep up with offering new encouragement and training for these new groups. Make sure you're on the cutting edge of what's happening at Moms in Prayer by registering yourself on our website so you can stay up to date. As we get started, just know that Matt is about to spill a list of life-changing, prayer-awakening books that have changed him. You can find that list in our show notes on the Moms in Prayer blog at momsinprayer.org. Without any more delay, here is my interview with Matt Brown. Well, Matt, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Oh, thank you, Lee. I'm so thrilled to join.
I am so excited about this day, new friend. We have been talking about this, about getting you on. So introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us about you and your family.
Definitely. So my name is Matt Brown. I'm an evangelist and have been in ministry for 17, 18 years now. My wife, Michelle, and I have been married for 13 years, and we have two cute little boys, and we have a baby girl who's due here, actually, at the time of our recording, in just a few days. And so we're so excited to have a girl as well in our family. And so just part of my story that I'm sure we'll talk about is that I grew up, my mom was in Moms in Prayer and grew up in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, and still live here as well. That was effective and influential. I think I have a lot to say about that, and we'll talk later in the podcast about it. But lead a ministry called Think Eternity, got a small team of friends, and we're sharing the gospel, and so just passionate about this stuff. I had the privilege, as I shared with you, to be a part of the Unshaken meetings and national conferences that were going on with Moms in Prayer. A few years ago, I shared at the Oklahoma State Conference, or the regional conference that was happening there, and just had so much fun being a part of that. Met Sally over at that. Just love everything that you're all doing.
So fun. And we're probably pretty close to the same age, but here I am thinking like, it's a Moms in Prayer kid. I am sure that lots of moms listening feel that same way. Like, talk to us about the benefits of being a Moms in Prayer kid.
Yeah, totally. So I have a lot of thoughts about it. I mean, for my mom, when she was a part of it, I faintly remember meetings that she'd go to. And I have three brothers. I have two older brothers, one younger brother. Third born in the middle creates the best kids, you know, the third born, the middle kid, and I'm teasing. And no, I remember though different times when she'd go to meetings and pray with her friends, and faintly kind of remember. And I probably remember her talking about it too, like a little later on when I was in Bible college already and involved in ministry things at that point. And her talking about some of the prayer stuff that she'd do with Moms in Prayer, and she'd pray with other moms. And outside of me knowing about it, I don't think it's necessarily important that I knew that she was going to pray with other moms. But just the fact that she was praying for me and for us, we felt that in such a significant way. I know all my brothers would say that our parents' prayers for us and our mom's prayers for us was just absolutely formative in our life. It's one thing to want your kid to, you know, to love Jesus, but it's another thing to model that. I think our kids, you know, being a parent myself now, I think about this stuff a lot, but our kids do what we do a lot more than they do what we tell them to do. And they really look to us, and their life is so formed by us in such a way that just permeates every aspect of our lives. And so my mom's always just had such a passion for prayer. And I don't know what she would say as an answer, but I'm curious how much of her passion for prayer and her heart for prayer came from Moms in Prayer. I'd be really curious to know the answer from her. She'd be a great guest, by the way, on the podcast.
She would. Your mom's name is Tammy.
Yes.
And are you able to see each other frequently?
Yeah. We live in here in the same area. We're actually are, 5 minutes away from both. We're so blessed to be real close to my parents as well as to my wife, Michelle's parents.
Such a gift in town here.
And so, yeah, so we see each other, go to the same church in town here, Emmanuel Christian Center in the Twin Cities. And yeah, Tammy Brown, so she's not in vocational ministry per se, but basically is, which I'm guessing a lot of Moms in Prayer feel like that. A lot of the women who are involved with this feel like you have a real ministry with this. And my mom is, serves at our local church, and she's just involved in a lot of prayer type ministries. God just used her in an enormous way in so many people's lives. So she's just the type of person. And again, I attribute some of this and a lot of this for sure all back to prayer and the Moms of Prayer too. She's got such a ministry to people everywhere she goes, no matter if she has a title of a vocational minister. Because when you pray, God really works on your heart and life in a way that you become somebody full of wisdom. You become a person who has a lot of joy and a lot of love to give to the people around you. And so when she's at church, I mean, she wherever she goes, she's basically adopted everybody, as their pseudo mom. And she's just a spiritual mom in everybody's life. And so that was formative for us. We felt that. We felt that our whole lives. We still feel that. I mean, she still texts us. Now, I don't know if you know this, by the way, ladies, but when you join Moms in Prayer and your kids love you praying for them, when they become adults, they're still going to be texting you all their prayer requests. So like on a weekly basis, my mom still says, hey, how can I be praying for you? That's one of the most encouraging texts I can get from her, and constantly am able to still share with her our needs in ministry and the things we're doing, which, we're not a church. We do evangelistic ministry alongside of churches. And so it is a risky and faith-based constant need for God to come through endeavor, following the Lord and stepping out on those things for us. And so I have lots of regular prayer requests for my mom, and obviously I have some other friends and family that pray with us as well. But one other thing I'll say about Moms in Prayer specifically is that she and other women in our town went to a small high school called Delano High School, kind of just outside the suburbs in Minnesota in the Twin Cities area. And they would pray for the young people. They'd pray for the school and they'd pray for revival. The young people weren't, I don't know the young people were necessarily praying for revival, but what ended up happening in our town when I was in high school, and do you know this story already, Lee?
No, tell me all about it.
Okay, I'm not sure if you've ever heard this story, but this was just so powerful and formative in our lives. What ended up happening is a Catholic evangelist came into town, had just a powerful ministry, and tons of people, we had a very Catholic town, tons of the people in the church were just touched by the Lord, touched by the Holy Spirit, touched by really a fresh and new faith in Christ. And some of the young people were as well, including one of my close friends, Luke, who a handful of them started a worship night called Monday Night Jam. And I ended up hearing about it. I was leading the Bible study in my high school, just trying to be involved, trying to do what I could. And I ended up hearing about this worship night. I was like, that's so cool. Like there's like dozens of students that are like worshiping together. And kind of slowly became an interdenominational worship night with different young people from the Baptist church and young people from the Catholic church and the Assemblies of God church that were all praying together and worshiping together. And so I started attending that and very quickly got integrated into the band, started to play bass, even though I didn't play bass, but somehow I was the bass player for a short period of time and eventually became the worship leader with Luke with this worship night. What was so powerful about it, even when it was in the small coffee house in downtown Main Street, Delano, was that the presence of God was just absolutely different and just so powerful in a way that like I'd never experienced, even though I had a great church and definitely had experienced the presence and power of God and through our church. But there was something so unique that I would just call it was truly a revival, just absolutely incredible. This started in this small coffee house, and actually it started in the Catholic church, eventually the small coffee house, and students were coming and leaving because there was no space in this tiny coffee house. I can't remember how many students it would take, to fit, but it was real small, but it was just absolutely packed out, powerful presence of God. We ended up asking the public high school to use the auditorium. They let us use the auditorium in the public high school. And for the next several years, 400 to 600 kids gathered And again, it was student led. There was no like real pastor, although we did kind of have pastors eventually kind of pastoring the group and the band, and eventually started to speak a few minutes on the night. So it was really just a night of worship, and students were coming in and leaders were coming in, pastors were coming in. In some cases, they drive in from many hours away for like an hour night of worship because there was something different and significant that was taking place. And that was just, again, that God was moving in a very unique and profound and significant way. I would walk in and you're just, you know, as this was going on, and it'd just be a wall of the presence of God. It was truly groundbreaking, significant, and it was nothing that we knew how to do. But I will say that, again, my mom and other moms were praying before, during, and after all of this for the city. And I really truly believe that there was people paving the way in prayer in a way that we didn't see or understand. Students were coming to faith in Christ, like without even someone preaching, just again, because weeping in the presence of God, who were not even believers, just because God was doing something so significant. That was catalytic in my life. I mean, it wasn't that I went to gone into ministry. I had a great church. I had, you know, great discipleship. I had a small church that I grew up at that had a really big impact on young people that eventually went into ministry. A lot of us went into ministry or serving in some capacity. There's young people that I grew up with that are like foster parents and just sacrificing so much and just serving and loving people around them. And so anyway, so that's a little bit of the story. I just believe in what is happening right now. And everyone who's listening, I know that a lot of the listeners are involved in some way, Moms in Prayer. I just believe that God is so moving and using your prayers in ways you don't see right now. Sometimes we don't connect the dots between the prayers of the moms and the movement of God among the students and among the churches. But I believe that God is using your prayers. I think God may want to stir you even to new levels of things to pray for, even by the story I shared, that God is using your prayers in such a way. Maybe there will be more times later on in the podcast. I'll share other stories about the ripple effect of that. But I just, man, it's excited about everything that you all are doing.
When do you remember first being able to identify a heart that God had given you for evangelism and for the salvation of your peers?
Yeah, so yeah, totally. I love that. Early on in my life, I felt a call to ministry, actually like when I was really young, and didn't quite know what I was supposed to do. When I was 17, I was at a youth conference. This was kind of in the middle of during the time when I started to be involved with and some of the things that were already happening with that revival in my high school that was called Monday Night Jam, and was super incredible. But I was at another youth conference during that time, and I just was the second day, second service, I was listening to the preacher preach, and there was a response time, and I was praying, and I just sensed such a burden, such a God-given burden for my high school, just for the people who needed Jesus, you know, the people I was with every day, they needed the Lord, and a burden that they would all hear the gospel. And it was in that moment that God just said, I'm calling you to be an evangelist. And over the following months and years, I mean, God just confirmed it in so many ways that I just have this, I have just a very strong inner sense of calling. Like, I just feel like God has just so guided and directed that. Again, now we've been doing that for 17 or 18 years, and it kind of started in Bible college. I just go ask to preach for everybody that would let me. I'd set up preaching tours and just had just such a passion, that God-given passion. And I just want to add, Lee, in part of this, that as I was finished with my senior year of high school, going into my first year of Bible college, that I read a couple prayer books that really was kind of the ground floor for all of this, and really was significant for me to, like, not just to pray a prayer, but to learn how to be a person of prayer.
Okay, well, you're going to have everybody in the world blow me up if you do not tell us, what did you read?
Yes, so there was really three books that were very formative. There was a lot of things that were shifting me around that time. I gained this heart for evangelism in a way that was just powerful, that I've never been the same. I started sharing my faith. I just gained a boldness from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, to share my faith. I felt empowered to share my faith. And then I gained this just voracious passion to read. And I've literally been reading like a book a week or more ever since then. So like all of these years, still to this day, I just love growing, love learning, love reading. So it's like all of this stuff kind of came packaged together in the calling, I don't know. And then learning to pray. And so again, it was these three books. It was Power Through Prayer by Ian Bounce. And I'm assuming that some of these are not foreign to any of you guys. Revival Praying by Leonard Ravenhill. And now I've read every book by him. And No Easy Road by Dick Eastman, who started Every Home for Christ. And his story was that he was a youth pastor at a church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. My brother actually is in that role now, has been a youth pastor and now a teaching pastor at that same church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. But he learned to pray in the boiler room of the church. And it's a different building now in the city than where the current church is at now, where my brother's at. But my brother has actually gone to that boiler room to pray before. So pretty crazy. Dick Eastman has had an amazing ministry, touching homes and lives all over the world. I actually had the chance just to meet him briefly at the National Day of Prayer last year. So that's pretty incredible.
Awesome.
Like, when you shake someone like that's hand and you go like, hello, like, you know, it's hard to even help them understand like how much of an impact you've had on my life through your book or through your ministry or just the ways that God has worked in your life. But yeah, man, I don't think he understood, but I was like, Dick Eastman is in the room, you know? So anyways.
I know that a lot of people are going to be able to relate to that, and you can continue driving your car. I will put that in the show notes right now so you can find those three books. But Matt, this has turned into a full-time career path for you, a ministry that God's given you called Think Eternity. And so tell us what Think Eternity is and the different scopes of your ministry.
Definitely. So we really have three areas. It felt called from the beginning to like large outreach events. And so our next one is, it's called Ignite. Our next one is in Arkansas in late April, actually in Northwest Arkansas, partnering with Dr. Ronnie Floyd, who's the current president of the National Day of Prayer in his church there that he's pastored for over 30 years, Cross Church, as well as other churches across the region. It's just a free one-night event where we're proclaiming the gospel. We're just inviting, and we've been in touch with Debbie Strobel there in Arkansas, and been interacting with her, and just want Moms in Prayer there to be a big part of it. Maybe even my friend Sue Jantz, who I spoke for from the Oklahoma Moms in Prayer. We just love everyone praying for us for that, because it's such a faith endeavor, and we're so encouraged by the excitement already that we see from people in the area and churches in the area. And so we're just praying God just so blesses that. What we're dreaming of really for that is like 10,000 people with us gathering, both inside in an outdoor area and a large screen for families outside of the church. We're going to have inflatables and food trucks and just make it a fun night. But ultimately, we're sharing the gospel, and we're hoping that maybe even 1,000 people come to faith in Christ through that. And then we also will have a Facebook Live for this event as well. So really anyone can join us. And we're dreaming and hoping and praying for like 100,000 people joining us on the Facebook Live. So that's one area of ministry. And then we do online ministry. And we really consider like this opportunity that no other generation has had with social media is truly a ministry field. It's truly a mission field. It's truly an opportunity and a way to reach both in our nation and around the world. And so that's grown for us. We, like in the last 12 months, we've been able to share gospel content with 65 million people through our online ministry, including literally seeing people accept faith in Christ through our online evangelism programs. And we have a powerful follow-up program in place where we want to disciple and walk with them and get them a new Bible. And so we're working on all that. That's a passion of ours and super fun opportunity that our generation has that no one else has had. And then we have one other area of ministry that we really consider a core area, and that's just investing in young influencers. And this is just a burden God's put in my heart over the years, where I'd see young people online who are, you know, having a great impact with the things they're sharing. We just want to be a blessing to them. And so we've been gathering this group in a couple different tribes and groups and gatherings of young influencers in different areas, really about a couple hundred of them that we've just been discipling, mentoring, trying to be a blessing to, open doors for. And that group collectively has 635 million followers between them. So it's just been like something that I started doing as a side passion that I quickly realized like, no, this is a core of our ministry. Like, we're called to disciple leaders, disciple young people, and just pray that God would just use all of us to, you know, see revival in our nation, along with all the Moms in Prayer ladies who are joining with us as well. But just, man, just that God would just move through everything that we're doing and see the kingdom come.
Well, we want to partner with that in any way that we can. But one of the things that has been really fun is getting a pre-release copy of your new book, Truth Plus Love, which is so fun and not a hard read at all. I laughed out loud several times, nodding my head as a mom of a teenager right now. And part of that is because at the beginning of the book that you express like an initial leeriness of technology and social media. That's funny. It actually goes back to your family origin, probably.
Yes, yeah.
Deeply stupid. But Tell me about that. Tell me about that, totally. That danger feeling and this transition where now you have largely technologically touched ministry.
Yeah, totally. Well, it's totally been the Lord. I mean, growing up, my family didn't have a TV for many years. I think I was like 13 when we got a TV. I mean, I didn't know why at that point. My parents, I think it was just a random choice they made. Like, people would offer us TVs at our church, you know, different friends, family. Like, oh, you gotta have a TV? You gotta have a TV? Like, you know, and I'm, by the way, I'm only 35, so it wasn't like, you know, too long ago. But it was just something our family didn't choose to do until later. Also, for me, like, I going into Bible college, I'd brag, like, I don't want to get a cell phone. I don't need a cell phone. Like, who doesn't want a cell phone? You know, like, why did I do that? I didn't have a computer for a while, and I was slow to get on social media. My older brother, who's a pastor, forced me onto MySpace, and then he forced me onto some of the other platforms. But I pretty quickly started to see, like, wow, this is a powerful tool for ministry, because obviously I was already in ministry by that point. And that just has snowballed into where we're just like, man, we can reach people online. Like, we can share the gospel with, like, closed nations online, like, through social media. It's crazy. And so we're just so excited about it. It wasn't until a few years ago that I realized, though, that part of my ancestry is German Mennonites. And so I kind of shared some of that story in there, that just discovering this. And one of my great, great, great uncles, Henry Brown, was the first Anabaptist Mennonite missionary to China in the early 1900s. And he spent his life in ministry there, saw thousands of people come to Christ, built a mission hospital, just did some amazing stuff. His son spent his life there as a medical missionary. And so I don't know if I'm totally right in this, but I just wondered, like, man, how much am I bragging about not having a cell phone and my parents not having TV, and just some of the things that I still do to this day, I just wonder if some of it's still affected by kind of maybe that Mennonite gene, you know? So I've seen the ministry that can be done with it. You know, we talk a lot about the negatives of social media in our culture, and there's definitely things to be afraid of or nervous about. The comparison is the biggest one, and just how we emotionally handle seeing everybody else's highlights on a daily basis. But I would just say, too, that this is a blessing. Like, there is an opportunity God's given us. There is a joy that we can have, and just a lot of positives of social media, of your Facebook, that you know, for instance, without thinking about it, you can share the gospel with all your friends, with your whole circle. Like, you just post a video or share a video from somebody else or whatever it might be. We have some videos that you could share, you know, as well, that we've been creating and we hope are engaging to people to share the gospel. Or you could message a friend that you haven't seen since high school or you haven't seen since forever and, you know, tell them you're praying for them. So, like, we didn't have that opportunity before. It wasn't that easy. It wasn't so accessible. And that's also created, obviously, why I wrote Truth Plus Love. Part why I wrote it is that we're the first generation of believers with an online megaphone. And so it's so important for us to think, how am I representing Jesus, and how I talk about politics, and how I talk about hot button issues in our culture, and how I talk about my faith, how am I representing Jesus? Because we need both the truth and the love of God. You know, it's so important to walk in both. And obviously, you know, since you're one of the first to read the book, I write about the fruit of the Spirit in the chapters and kind of cap end it with truth and love. Fruit of the Spirit, for me, I just think for years I had the wrong perception of spiritual maturity. I thought it was maybe to be intense or almost angry because I was just so passionate about my faith. And what I've begun to realize in probably the last 6 years, I think God's just opened my heart and eyes to see it's really the fruit of the Spirit. That's what it means to grow in Jesus. It's more love in your life. It's more joy. It's more peace. It's more kindness. It's more gentleness. And when we walk in these areas, when God helps us to grow in these areas, and obviously a lot of that comes through prayer, comes through reading the Word. And when we get around other believers who, like, are just glowing with that kind of stuff, when we grow in those things, I mean, I just think we're going to be a lot more fun to be around in our families, you know, when we're leaning into the fruit of the Spirit over the flesh. I think we're going to be more effective and influential in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our community, in our workplace, and in our nation. I believe there's a greater level of influence believers can have for the sake of Christ, for pointing people to the truth when we walk in the love and the rest of the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And you spend a pretty good bit of time talking about negative social interaction with Christians. And I laughed as I was getting ready because it seems like we are supposed to be known as kind and loving, but sometimes the tone at which people express themselves as Christians, mm-hmm. well, it's real negative. It's like I already said this to you, but angry Christian and almost jerk sometimes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And real hard nose. What do you advise us to do? How do we deal with the issues of the day without coming across as angry and cynical?
Yeah, well, we definitely still need truth, you know.
Right.
The challenge is that, you know, we're also the first generation really to have like 24-hour, you know, negative divisive news media as well. Dave Ferguson, a pastor, wrote in one of his books that the average email that you might get from the New York Times contains more information than someone in 18th century England would encounter in their entire lifetime. So like we get tons of content, and it's so politicized and divisive right now that it's so easy to just be sucked in and drawn in that you just, you know, oh, I got to say something to this. I've got to say something to everything and every day. And if you have that newsfeed source in your life, which for me, you know, might be like Twitter news, because I'm looking at what my friends are saying, I might also check the news there, which is so secular. I mean, their news is horrible. You know, it's like so biased, and you get that and you just want to respond to stuff. And it's so important that we're not basing how we respond to the world on how the world talks and how the world responds, but we look at how Jesus did it. And we look at his way, which is different. And that means sometimes you don't respond to stuff. You don't have to respond to everything. We're the only generation now, and we're having to deal with this and figure this out. We're the only generation that we hear about every tragedy immediately. We hear about every horrible politician immediately. You know, we hear about so much negative things so quickly. And it's at such a pace that you can lose your peace. And we can't lose our peace. Like, Christians need to walk in the peace of God, and we need to walk in the joy, no matter suffering or no matter the hardship or the struggle of the world around us. We need to walk differently, because it's out of that that we influence people. It's out of that difference about us that we can make an impact on the world in a way that is Christ-like. And so I just think that we, again, but we do need to speak truth, but we just need to be mindful. Now, I just am sickened, for instance, in the last few days by this whole, some of the abortion talk and mm-hmm. and some of the, like, the baby can be born and you can, like, that's insane. And so it's not that I'm telling anyone to not say something about that or to not speak to that. I mean, we're salt and light. So there's things we'll have to say to culture that aren't easy to hear, right?
You bet.
And there's times to do that. And we need to do that sometimes. And there's great examples that, all in all, I'll just add that this is such a delicate thing to balance, truth and love. But most importantly, we want people to experience the love of God through us, even though they're broken sinners. Because all of us were broken sinners once. You know, we all struggle. We all fail. We've all fallen short of God's glory. And every single one of us needs God's grace. And the world around us is not going to act like Christians. They need, when we come to them, to not just hear us berating them, but they need to see the heart of God in who we are and what we're saying to them. And so that's kind of the balance we need to, like, fight for in this culture, is that they see that, like, that we care so much and that we have the love of God for them, that God so loved the world, John 3:16, we also need his heart for the world. And in that, obviously, there's times to speak truth, but, like, it's that, you know, again, that careful, like, we don't want to win the argument and lose the soul. We want to help people see through our attitudes and our actions that we truly care about them. We're not just trying to prove a point.
So what role does prayer play in walking with the Spirit and producing that fruit that you're calling for? Well, actually, that the Holy Spirit's calling for. Let's just go.
Yeah. Well, it's fruit of the Spirit. The Bible talks about, this is something the Holy Spirit produces in you, obviously in Galatians 5:22 and 23, but also there's lots of scriptures about these characteristics, about gentleness, about kindness, about love, and it tells you to do it too, you know? So it's saying, walk in this, make every effort to live at peace with the world around you. Over and over again, there's kind of this, you're called to do something too. And the best way I would explain it is like Jerry Bridges and how he talks about it in The Pursuit of Holiness. By the way, Pursuit of Holiness is absolutely one to put on that list as well. And he says, there's a holiness you have in Christ before God. It's only because of what Jesus has done for you. You are holy because he's done it in you. But there's also a biblical holiness you're called to work towards. So it's important, I think, to see the fruit of the Spirit not only as something God does in us, but something he's calling us to walk towards and aim for and to spend our life building. Because I believe if we do, we're going to be more, again, more effective. We're going to be more useful for the kingdom if we grow in these areas. And so, yeah, prayer is just absolutely vital. I would just say three things, really. Like, again, prayer, ask God to work this in you. Get around the Lord. The more you're in prayer, the more you spend with time with Jesus, the more you're going to look like Jesus. That's why prayer is so important. same with the Word of God. I mean, we need the Word of God. The Word of God is where the power is. It's where the faith comes from. And then obviously just being around other believers who have these traits and have these things in their lives, which is, you know, what you probably get in the moms in prayer meetings. I don't know. I've never been allowed to be in a moms in prayer meeting before, besides the conference, of course, but no one's ever invited me to the prayer meeting before.
Watch out. Minnesota, here it comes.
I'm just teasing, but I'm just so grateful for the things that are happening in those meetings, because the church loves to talk about prayer, but when you actually pray, God moves, you know? And so, man, the more prayer meetings we can have, the better. And it's just such a holy thing, such a powerful thing. I believe it's one of the great kingdom things that God's doing is moms in prayer.
Well, Matt, since you're our moms in prayer kid, how can we be praying for you and Michelle at this stage of your ministry? Besides a baby delivery this week.
Yes, we'd love that. We'd love that absolutely so much for just God's grace on that baby, our new baby girl who's coming, and on our family and kids and everything that we're doing. And also for, you know, this upcoming Ignite Outreach, just so love that. Love for you to pray for my book as well, just that God would just speak into people's lives through it and bless that. And just everything that God wants. I mean, we're walking so by faith. We're just so grateful and excited for everything that God's done and is doing. And so just, you know, praying whatever God might lead you to pray, and his blessing and hand on our ministry. Just so appreciate it. So desire it. For the longest time since I started in early ministry, I have sent out prayer emails, and it's been like my greatest desire just to have people praying for us, to literally mobilize as much prayer for us as possible. And so I've got we've got our general prayer requests that we send out. And then I've got like a few core friends that are just total intercessors that I have literally on a regular basis praying for us, including my mom still. So thank you so much for the prayers that you're praying for your kids, the prayers you're praying for our ministry. I just truly, truly believe God is doing more through it than you could ever imagine.
Well, Matt, I just want to encourage our friends that are listening, Truth Plus Love. I knocked it out in a day. It was easy to read and really accessible. Yep. And one of the things I thought is, this is a great book to read as a family. My kids are just a little bit older than your kids, and this is accessible. And this is a time where, if social media is a reality in our lives, it's going to be a greater reality in the lives of our kids. And so I just would encourage moms to get a copy of that. And Matt, thanks for being with us today. Before we close out, would you mind praying for the moms that are listening right now?
I'd love to. Lord, I just thank you so much for this opportunity, for Lee, for Sally, for the whole team at Moms in Prayer at the national and global offices, but also the regional, also the groups all over America and all over the world. And I just ask, Lord, would you just bless and fulfill the desires of their hearts for their children, for the schools they're praying for? God, would you move in a greater way through our prayers? Would you teach us in a greater way to pray? Would you give us your burden, your heart for people who need you? And Lord, I just ask right now too for the moms who are praying for something and just struggling right now and just really have a great need. Would you, Lord, confirm something on their heart right now? Would you fulfill and help them to begin to see the answer? Would you just encourage and strengthen the hearts that need it so badly right now? And just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow, wasn't that an incredible testimony about how revival impacts students? Imagine that each week we pray for revival and spiritual awakening in our schools. Oh, Father, would you move that way across our nation and around the world? Be sure you go pre-order Matt's book, Truth Plus Love, and pray for the event happening in Northwest Arkansas in April. Moms are making the difference. Moms believing God for revival, speaking the truth with so much love. Moms just like you. See you next week.